reading caboose has arrived. I'm Conductor Clark.
And I'm Ms. Janice. Hey, who wants to learn about the letter H?
I do!
Now what can we do with the letter H?
We can hula hoop.
Or?
Create a massive global hoax.
What Ernie's referring to is the Apollo 11 moon landing that supposedly took place on July 20th, 1969.
To quote Neil Armstrong, this is one small step for man.
And one giant lie to mankind.
Hello, everybody, hello.
Hi, Ticket Taker Sam. Sam's been riding the rails ever since mean old Microsoft stole his formula for Windows 95.
Hey, Sam, I hear you've got a story for the kids.
I sure do, Miss Janice, and it's a real whiz banger. Once upon a time, there was a president named Kennedy.
I promised to put a man on the moon before the end of the decade.
Mr. President, didn't you also promise civil rights?
That's another story, Trevor. Now choose while I go sleep with Judith Exner.
Meanwhile, poor inept NASA couldn't get a rocket into space. Pew!
So they turned to Plan B.
I'm LBJ.
Boo!
The end of the decade is here, and there's still no Americans on the moon. Those Ruskies are gonna beat us to it.
I'll help you, Mr. President.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Stanley Kubrick, and I'll use some tricks I learned while filming the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey, to fake a moon landing.
And we're the Mafia, and we'll fund your scam to build a secret soundstage in Las Vegas.
Good. While people think they're in space, we'll keep the astronauts busy with whores and gambling. Then we'll pay them off, or brainwash them, or kill them.
The end.
Yay!
Squawk? But is there any real proof it was a hoax? Squawk?
Is this proof enough, Gully Bird?
Wow!
I used to fly the moon all the time.
Hobo Dan!
Hey, Hobo Dan. How did you fly to the moon?
With the only real astronaut, Dr. Timothy Leary.
Oh, Hobo Dan.
Hey, that reminds me of a song.
This old moon rocket ain't what it appears to be.
Ain't what it appears to be.
Ain't what it appears to be.
This old moon rocket ain't what it appears to be. Because it was baked in a kiln
in Japan.
Thanks, Hobo Dan. That was fun, credible. And the truth.
Uh-oh, someone's ringing the doorbell. To the safe room, kids. To the safe room.
Okay, that's all the time that we have for now. We'll be back with more reading later. Until then, the most important part of reading is reading between the lines.
Sayonara, pigs.
It's going to be.
Wow, V, that was fun.
I love that. I love that. I love that. I want to touch it in.
Those are, I've never seen those before at all. That's classic. I'm going to have to go back and get the visuals on that, too. I'm going to be checking that out.
I'm trying to find those little golden oldies. But yes, guys, this is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. We are back here at the top of the hour. I don't know, you know, last time, I don't think we even offered our callers a chance to even talk to David. So, Will, if you could give out the contact information here so our callers can get online and speak with us, I would really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely, guys, if you're calling in. The area code is 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. One more time, 512-248-8252, call in, or you can call the toll-free number if you absolutely have to, if you're overseas, 94-43. And if I was too fast, go to republicbroadcasting.org, and the numbers are right there on the side for you guys to call in. We'd love to get your take on it. And if you guys have any questions for our guest, too, definitely give us a call in. I wanted to talk about this, too. This is an article from Bloomberg, and it says, Nigeria flour miller squeezed by central bank ban on imports. Is that ban still going on? And how, if so, has that affected the economy there? Because that doesn't sound like a great idea.
Well, what happened is that things like that, when they happen, is one of the top men has built his own flour mill around. So they try to reduce the level of importation so that they can use that of the ones they have built, which is one of their own. So the ban will still be on, or they can negotiate. So things like that, we only get half of the story. We don't usually have complete story for things like that.
I'm sorry, what was the last part that you said right there? You either broke up or I broke up there.
Okay, I said we don't usually have complete story of things like that. They only give us half, how it started, how it's moving, and how it ends. They don't give those things to the public. So I don't really know what happened later on with it.
Yeah, you know, we take so much for granted being over here. I mean, America is probably one of the most corrupt, if not arguably the most corrupt, nation on the planet, and we still have to count our blessings over here, because there's so many things that we just take for granted on a daily basis that, I mean, at least they lie to us, right? Like, you know, they're not going to tell you guys what's up, but at least they lie to us and give us an explanation. It's not the real or right explanation, but at least they give us some kind of BS explanation. What do you think as far as the way things are going in Nigeria, with all the different factions, all the religions, in this corrupt government, and you've got, according to you, and from what I see, it seems to be true, you got, you know, the British with their hands up your pants there. What do you see happening in the future of Nigeria with all these different groups, from the people in Nigeria to the people outside of Nigeria, vying for control?
Although the issue of Nigeria, we don't know, but the way the thing is, it might go on for a very long time unless something actually happens. But they don't want, they want to keep Nigeria together. But once we are together like this, different tribe, different idea, being in one country, things will continue to go wrong. If we continue, it won't end unless there is a breakup or total change in hands, in power. That's what we, the Igbos, our tribe saw, and we are fighting for independence. But unfortunately, they don't want to grant it for us here. An international community doesn't want to intervene. One of our intelligent minds from the Igbo tribe once went to Europe. He met an European parliamentarian. He asked them, why is it that anytime they make mention of Biafra or Igbos having their own country, they ignore it? The European parliamentarian told the man that his name is Chinua Achebe. He wrote Things Fall Apart, and he only wrote There Was a Country. He said the European man told him that they are trying to curtail the Japan they have in Asia, that they don't want to have another Japan in Africa. So issues like this, if Nigeria is still together and there is no change in hands and power in the West, especially in England, and things will continue to go on like this for a very long time, unless a drastic revolution takes place within that would metamorphose everything. But I doubt, because most of the people that are coming out here to rule us, our leaders, they're either schooled in or in UK or United States, or are being brought up there. So they're kind of being controlled. And most of them went to two or three high schools, King's College and other special schools here and abroad. So I don't know. For now, things are still going the way it is. Let's see what happens in the future. But from how things is, it doesn't seem that things will change unless something drastic happens.
Okay, well, we have callers, I do believe. they have questions for you, David. So we'll go to Line 3, Washington. Dan, is that you? Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. You kind of started talking about my question. You hear about Chinese kind of coming into Africa. If he sees, is there a competition between, say, England or China? Do you see a lot of Chinese coming into Africa, or is that just propaganda as far as influence? We hear that China's trying to take over Africa. I don't know. They had those Chinese ghost cities, you know?
Can I come in?
Yep.
Yeah, Dave, question for you. He wants to know if it's true that there's a lot of Chinese taking over Nigeria economically or otherwise, or if that's actually just propaganda by our State Department and CIA.
No, it's not a propaganda. What it took Britain and America decades to do in Africa, the Chinese are doing it in the shortest while. They are eating up Africa hugely, giving out loans they know that Africans can repay, taking over assets, bringing their people. Now, what they are doing mostly in Nigeria, they are taking over middlemen position. They are sending their people down here. Instead of them to send their goods, our importers to buy and sell, they are bringing their people down here to be major middlemen. If you go to markets, major markets here in Africa, they are all over, fighting with local people, taking up construction works, giving out loans. They know you will really pay, taking over airports. Yes, it's true. They are doing that. They are all over.
Oh. Okay, well, thank you for taking the call. Have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Dan. Okay, so we will also switch over to Line 1, Colorado. Go ahead.
Hey, it's still Bo Scout, Rev, U.S. Pentagon First Team. I'm glad someone from Nigeria called in because you got a lot of attention back earlier in the 20th century, and me and Bubba used to get all the emails, and we couldn't afford to, like, send you the money to send us the Royal Crown Jewels or something when they used to get those chain letters. But it was because we're on level. Now we're at the top of the U.S. Pentagon, and I know that the Nigerian people get into our computer systems and everything with their chain letters. This time, you can actually help America better than the morons we got here, because they're all idiots. Why don't you send out those letters again, this time saying, promote Bubba Scout Rev and win a prize. The prize is liberty. We're going to crush the Soviet Colorado revolt here. And we'll keep the Chi-Coms out of Africa for you. They'll be busy dropping dead of heart attacks when we knock out the people. We got enemies all over America. So I think Nigeria can do a lot. I couldn't believe, I used to get phone calls that they were sending evil messages from my computer. I got a lot of things. I believe it could have been from Nigeria, too, because we did talk to a bunch of people, and they spoke pretty good English. And I'd like them to mount an offensive where Bubba Scout Reb is mentioned. I tell you how to spell it. It's 13 letters. B-U-B-B-A-S-C-O-U-T-R-E-B. You could help out America and help the world situation. We know when we destroy the 911 lowlives here in America, we'll have order and everything. I call into a lot of these RBN-type programs. Most people cut us off. We're not asking for money, just attention. That's all. This is all paid for. So this would help a lot, because I noticed Nigerian emails got everywhere back earlier in the 21st century. And then it seemed to disappear, and they said, well, they just wanted you to send them your bank account money. So we don't have real bank accounts anyway. Like I said, we're on welfare, but we're at the top of the U.S. government, U.S. Pentagon First Team, Bo Scout Rev. And you can put our Vulture Squadron emblem on every email. I think they could help.
Rev, you have a question. You have a question for our caller, for our guest. not it's not a promotional time, because really, I mean, come on, you guys aren't doing nothing. I've got projects, I'm doing stuff. If anybody should be promoting anybody, you guys should be promoting me. So, do you have a question?
Did you say we should send you money?
You should be promoting me. If there's
that's what we're doing. We called that PMO office at Fort Bragg, and I told him, get a hold of V, because he talks your language. He knows rap stuff. He hangs out on the east side of Dallas. And now they told me he's on leave. He didn't give us the right
That's
phone
fine.
Number.
That's fine. That's fine.
I
want you to have a question for our guest, a relevant question for our guest. Can you do that?
This is relevant, because that's where all the action on the internet showed up in the early 21st century, these Nigerian emails. And maybe they weren't honest or something, but they got attention. That's what we're looking for. And you could use our Vulture Squadron emblem.
I'm gonna say that they've got bigger fish to fry right now than doing their bidding. They can't help us gain freedom until they themselves have freedom. And I think it's actually very selfish that you're asking for that. But and show some respect for the guest, because this guy, we're getting him, he's probably up all night just to do this show. So, I mean, it's all good. You can call us. You can bomb us with the Bubba Rev Scout, all the Vulture Squadron stuff. But when we have a guest, let's try to stay on topic and not make it self-promotional there. This is just changing gears before we get to another caller. I'm not sure if we have another caller, but I did want to get your take on this. This is from CNN. Nigerian digital artists are making a mark with NFTs. Nigerian art creators are leveraging the art world shift to the digital world through NFTs, and they're increasing their network while they're at it, despite a government crackdown on cryptocurrency. Non-fungible tokens known as NFTs are pieces of digital content linked to the blockchain, a digital database for cryptocurrencies. I see one of the great promising things coming from Africa, but specifically Nigeria, is this new wave of technology. And I feel like some of the people of Nigeria are even better at understanding the internet and using it for their own benefit, and also helping their economy. Where do you see this technology, this blockchain technology, going for the future? Do you think it's going to be a beneficial thing for Nigeria? Because also you do have the fact that the government is crapping down on cryptocurrencies.
They are just being wicked and greedy. You understand? The cryptocurrencies, most Nigerians have benefits from them. They trade on it and they make huge money. Government came out and said they are banning it, that they don't want Nigerians to trade on it anymore, that is illegal. They even banned banks from trading it. So Nigerians are trading on it, trading it from a black market. But the wicked thing there is this. During the Twitter ban, our Chief Justice of the Federation screenshotted his phone that he has deleted his Twitter accounts. Unfortunately, the VPN he's using showed on his top screen, and Lakotin is an app used for cryptocurrency trading. Nigerians were like, wow, you said you've banned the use of cryptocurrency in Nigeria, but you, as the Chief Justice of the Federation, you are equally trading on a cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, using Lakotin, an app they use in trading cryptocurrency. So those are the problems you are having. Those things can help promote the economy or help the poor masses. Few people have the knowledge of those things. And secondly, governments are against it, although they trade on those things secretly. Officially, they are against Nigerians benefiting from those things.
Well, I got to say, David, in the episode and almost two episodes now that I've had you, I've asked you questions from all over, like economics, government, food, and like just random stuff, and you've had a good answer for every single one of them. So I don't know how you stay this well informed, especially according to The Economist, Nigeria's government wants to gag the press. How do you personally stay so well informed about all this stuff?
That I don't definitely have any answer to it. I don't just know. Maybe I pick random information here or there. So maybe I don't know. No really answer to that.
Well, you are a former teacher, so you know knowledge is power. My thing is, how are you staying so safe? You're not worried about being on this program, are you?
No. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not. Okay.
Go ahead, Will.
No, I said, well, you should be, because we're crazy. You shouldn't be worried about being on with us. We're not, well, at least me. So are you usually like, are you going, you must be heavy on the internet too, because I'm guessing that as you mentioned before, the state-run media, the media they have there is probably not very forthcoming with the truth. So I'm sure you have to dig up a lot of this stuff on the internet, I'm guessing?
Yes. And sometimes you meet people on the streets, you come across people that have first-hand information, maybe they work with government, or they have access to some information. Just like that, you can get the real information. And you as a human being with the Spirit of God within you, you can equally decipher what is true and what is lie.
Now, as far as common myths or misnomers, what do you think people from outside of Nigeria think about Nigeria that just isn't true or is just like an urban legend?
Yeah, like especially you people in the West, Nigerians are all criminals, so the level of poverty is so bad here. Yes, those things are here, but it's not the way people look at it. There are still good people here. There are still people that are rich here, who made their money legally. There are still people that are living fine. And there are still good people, although things are bad here, but it's not at it. But most times in Nigeria, if you don't come and see how things are, spend some time observe, or ask people that are quite exposed to the country, you wouldn't know what really is happening. Because with the way media most times spends Nigeria outside here, it's not really the way it is. Because in Nigeria, you have freedom. There's virtually a huge level of freedom here, movements, all those things. Unless you start stepping boundary, or unfortunately, to run into bad government officials, that's where you have problem. But averagely, there's a level of freedom here. There's a level of freedom.
The level of freedom, how do you, what do you compare that level of freedom to? What does that entail?
Speech. There are things people do here and they get away with it. That if you try it in other countries, especially in Western world, you don't get away with it. Some lot of things here. So people just live a kind of free life here to an extent. A kind of free life. Not much pressure, paying of taxes, rent, those things. So unless you get in a bad hand. So mostly people are considerate to each other here. To an extent, people are considerate.
So as long as you don't run into the boot of the government, you should be in good hands.
Yeah.
That's pretty much universal.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get to another caller here. We have line one, Texas. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Vin, you know who this is.
Andy, what's going on?
Yes, thank you for letting me on. I'd like to ask the guest, is there any kind of a population of white folk in Nigeria?
You said?
Do we have any kind of white population in Nigeria?
Yeah, Caucasian. There are lots of them, yeah.
Yeah?
Lots of them.
Okay, so then... So give me some thoughts on how the Nigerian people, which I presume is mostly black, how do they feel about the white population? I mean, I'm going against this this whole white thing going on. They're trying to demonize white people. Are they doing that in Nigeria as well? I know South Africa's doing it, and now we're taking on their model. And I'm just wondering if Nigeria's doing it too.
No, white people are being categorized. Have white people from, once you are from French, America, Britain, Russia, and these top European or American countries, you are in the kind of A1 category. Then they have these Lebanese, Chinese, and co. They are in another category. And most people, they prefer working with these Americans or British or French people because they treat their workers well, they pay well. They know human rights, they know human labor dignity, they value those things compared to their other counterparts from Far East Asia. So here they respect them. Once they see you as a white man, see people looking at you, they believe you are rich, you know better. So those of those things, they are, come on here, they respect them here.
So it's mythical. I mean, what we're doing over here in America is mythical. You know, I don't see anybody as a different race than me. I just see them as a different color because we're all part of the human race. And, I mean, just because we're different colors don't make us a different race. I mean, we bleed the same. We have the heart, the lungs, the liver, and everything. And, you know, I could give a kidney to a black person if my blood type and stuff is right, and a black person could give it to me. So we're interchangeable. So there is no racial thing going on here. And that's what my point was.
Yeah, I want to make a statement, too, because... speaking of, you know, all people have the same organs and stuff like that, they suspended my license. So if I get pulled over, they're not taking none of my organs. I crossed that out. You can't take none of my organs while they're suspending my license. yes, pity laugh from V, thanks.
I thought you were serious. That was just going to be like one of those, I guess it kind of is a pity laugh. You're serious, right?
No, I don't fill out the organ donor thing anyway. Yeah, if you're not aware, for people listening elsewhere, on our United States driver's license, they ask you, you usually sign up to vote there if you want to register to vote or not. They press you to do that, and they also ask you if you want to be an organ donor. So I usually don't do that because I know if I got a, it's no offense to people that need organs, but I just know, especially here, maybe I'll change it when I move, but I know here in Rhode Island, they'd be like, oh, looks like Will was in a car accident. Let's harvest something real quick because they're not over here. But seriously, you know, of our caller, Andy, in Texas there, Nigeria borders a bunch of countries, Mali, Niger, Cameroon, Benin. What is that like on the borders? What are your relationships with your immediate neighbors? Could you go back and forth? Is there trade? Are you guys on friendly? I know in Africa, you know, people identify more with their tribe rather than their national border. But if you could speak to that.
Yeah, there is a relative freedom of movement. Once you are not carrying goods, which border officials can hold you, if it's normal movement, you can move about, can go from one country to the other. Close by, like here, this southern part of Nigeria that I'm staying, there is a country, Cross River State. They have common border with Akwa Ibom people, Cameroon people. Those Cameroon people, they do come with their machine to visit hotels or brothels, or even they even come down here with their machine to drink alcohol. After drinking, they still go back to their country. Same way we from here move there. Sometimes Nigerians do just get across to those countries just to go and swim in their river and still come back. Still, there's a relative relationship between them, unless when it comes to economics, that's where it's a kind of strict.
Now, I wanted to ask you this also. As far as the Muslim population in Nigeria is concerned, I know there's all different types of Muslims, there's all different types of Christians. Certain Muslims that they won't drink alcohol, they won't indulge in any of that stuff. And then there's certain other Muslims that are a little more liberal. How strict is the Sharia? I know there is Sharia law in certain places. I don't know, but I've been told there's Sharia law in certain places out there. I mean, how serious is it? Are they going to cut your hands in a Muslim community if you steal? I mean, do some of the Muslims over there drink? How seriously, how strict do they adhere to Islam there?
The Sharia is a kind of is strict to an extent. One, Sharia here mostly is for the poor masses. The rich men lodge in hotels, carry women, drink alcohols, nothing happens. But once you are poor, the Sharia is for you. They do cut some hand, they do kill some. But due to human rights activists in Nigeria, when such issues comes up recently, they do fight, speak up. Then those things have been curtailed. But minus that, Sharia is here, but the Sharia is coded. They don't allow hotels and bars. But my tribesmen are people that owns most of those hotels and bars. So when you have your own hotel or bar, you keep it in a secluded place, you code it, then you go back to the people that owns the land, you tip them off, pay them some money so that they won't disturb you. In some cases, like the local government chairman or some politician, you end up giving them one special room from your hotel where they can come in and lodge or carry women anytime they feel like. Those things are just a kind of a lobby to secure your business. So Sharia law, they do drink alcohol. But then, one thing with them is that they don't like doing things openly like we do. Every of their things is a kind of coded way. Their hotel coded, their drinking, everything a kind of coded. They don't do their things open. Their women, you don't see their women daytime. It's only at night you see their women, and they do their things secretively. So Sharia is here, but it's fading off. Western life and education is a kind of wiping it. But to keep the religion, they still talk about it. But in hidden, I don't think there's Sharia.
I see. That's a good point, because I think that's how it is in a lot of other places. And now, as I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm enjoying some cannabis, some marijuana. Right now, I'm sure you've heard we're going through an epidemic of opium, opioids, heroin, meth, all that stuff. We're getting wrecked over here when it comes to that. What is it like over there? I'm sure narcotics are probably illegal, but do people smoke weed out there? People doing coke out there?
And even on top of it, I hear that there is not only just an epidemic of drugs, but there's like fake drugs. There's horrible moonshine, which is giving people terrible, horrible health problems, and just the fake counterfeit drugs is the real problem there. Is that true?
The starting from marijuana, there is banned here. It's highly a very powerful crime. Although I take it, I don't smoke it. I use it to cook my meals. I eat it. Then banned it, but government, the legislatures, they are talking about lifting the ban. They want to, which I'll be happy about, because I would like to own a farm that produces it. But like they have drugs here that are killing lots of people. These Tramadol, Refnol, most youth takes it. Then in far north Nigeria, this solution they use in government tire, they do sniff it till it turns to water. Some they will sniff gutter, suck away gutter that is very smelly. Or this woman used menstruation pad. They cook it. After cooking it, then they sieve the...
Could you start over? What was the name of the drug that you just said? I didn't catch it. And what type of drug is that? Is that opium? What is that? Or is that a synthetic drug?
Tramadol and the Refnol, codeine, the cough drugs, they take it overdose. There's one thing they call a solution. They use it in government tire, a busted tire that vulcanizers use. They do sniff it till it turns to water. It's very, very powerful. Or they will sniff gutter or suck away. Where people, physicists, those gutter or suck away, they sniff it. Or women use menstruation pad. They will cook it for several hours. Then the water, the smoke, the vapor that is coming out, they will sniff it. It gets them very high. So those are things that they do take care.
I wanted to ask you too. So pretty much, I think it makes sense because economically, I was actually surprised when you said they might try to lift the ban on marijuana, but economically it makes sense because you guys have a lot of arid soil that would probably, you know, produce a lot and that would be economically good. But now, are you familiar with certain drugs like ayahuasca that certain shamans in South America will stuff, will use? Is the elder in your tribe allowed to use certain drugs, or do they have certain mind-altering drugs in some of these tribes that they use and are allowed to use legally for their ceremonies?
There are lots of them here. There are lots of them here, but they don't use it among you unless you go to rural areas, and they don't allow people to use them for bad. But those drugs, they are here and they exist, so they don't commonly use them. I know people here are very, very mystical and fetish. So it's a equally spiritual environment here.
And, you know, this is kind of going back to earlier too, but in some of the more remote areas, I mean, where it's not people living very close to one another, how strong is the police presence out there?
Most of those areas, they have their vigilantes. They protect themselves. And, you know, it's rural area. There are not much movements there. People there are kind of safe and relaxed. They protect themselves, except now that herdsmen are disturbing in bushes with their cows. But except that, those places are okay. They are even more healthy than people living in the cities.
Now, David, I want to throw something at you because you've been able to answer every socioeconomic, geopolitical question I've thrown at you. Here in the United States, I don't know if you've heard, but for the longest time, people were calling people that research UFOs crazy people. I'm not saying I believe in extraterrestrials, but I definitely think there's some crap going on in the sky. For the longest time, the government said, oh, it's fake, it's fake, it's fake. And now the government is just coming out in the news here, starting to, oh, it actually, this stuff is, it is, there's something going on over there, and we can't explain it all. Have you noticed that in the U.S.? Have you seen anything about that in Nigeria? And what's your take on UFOs? Are they real? Are they fake? And why are we hearing about it now?
Even before now, before I got exposed to internet and all this, I've known that those things are real. Like when I was still 5, 6, 7 years, my grandma used to tell me stories about other planets, that there are people there. Even there are some planets that are meant directly, that are occupied by dwarfs. There are lots of them. So those UFOs, they are just exposing now. I'm not surprised because we have been taught a lot about them.
David, where did your grandma get this information from? Was this something that was passed down? Is it something that she read in books?
Yes. No, not books. It's something that I've passed down to them. Sometimes, even years back, centuries ago, they practiced it. They traveled to those places. Like in some historical sites in Nigeria, yeah, in Yoruba or Edo State, you will see people that dress like astronauts. They molded them. Some, they carved them with stone. People that of old, they dress like astronauts with their equipment, well prepared. You see things like rockets that they carved with wood or steel, which means there are something that have been going on, which they didn't tell us, that they are just, scientists are just claiming that they just discovered, which are not true. So I've always known that since they have traveled, they were equally traveling to other planets. They say that those people from other planets used to come, but I didn't spend much time with her, and I didn't know much. And if I hadn't been it, now I could have asked her more questions to know better.
So would it be fair to say, let's just say I took 10 random people out of Nigeria from all different backgrounds and said, hey, do you think UFOs are real? How many out of 10 would say yes? How many would say no?
Some would say, religious people would tell you yes, that there are powers. They call it powers. They don't call it UFOs. They call it demons or fallen angels. Okay. Yeah, that's what they call it. And they will say, yes, there are other planets. But the way you people view it there is different. Here, they view it from religious angle, from spiritual angle. They will tell you yes, but not what you mean, it's what they mean. They mean that there are powers, there are demons in other planets, on the sky, in the water, below or so. They will tell you yes.
What do you think the motivation is now that the U.S. government is after decades of denial, now saying that this is in fact a real phenomena.
Maybe they feel it's inspired information, or a lot of people are getting to know from behind. Okay, let's just make it official. Let's just tell them yes. But it's a kind of a psychological game, because the world now is distracted with COVID-19 and other things that are going on. A lot of people are not concentrated on those information and they don't even care. Something that they will, maybe something happen tomorrow, they will say, oh, we told the people years back, you didn't listen. But people are not concentrated on those things. They are being carried away by a lot of things going on in the world now.
All right. What don't you know about? What is the square root of 72? Like, what is a topic that you know nothing about?
Nine.
Because honestly,
hey,
because you're
hey,
so
can hungry. I ask a question and I'll get off the air?
Oh,
hey,
yeah,
there's
go ahead.
Two questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's two questions. What's the laws on the guns over there in Nigeria? I mean, are you able to pack, or do you have a way to have a weapon? I understand everybody's disarmed in this world.
It's normal street boys maybe looking for what to eat or about bring your phone. They attack you when you go to bad areas at night, or people that working for highly organized organization committing crime, which is mostly political. But aside that, it's just normal street boys looking for who to obtain or what to eat.
And then okay, so and how COVID-19 came in like a thunder rock. How did your country react to that?
What happened is that when it first came, people were scared. But Nigerians are very sensitive. After some weeks, we started asking, hey, America is showing us people that have the COVID. They are showing us their isolation centers. But here, we are not seeing anybody. No picture, only numbers on the screen. People started doubting. But a lot of people were scared because of what they are seeing in other countries. When time came, Nigerians said, hey, show us people who knows who has this COVID. Me, I don't know. I've not had anybody or seen anybody that knows who has the COVID-19. Then little and small, we started hearing that people are fighting isolation center because of who people they staged. So a time came, and the people they are saying they have the COVID, they are mostly rich people. So they found it that it's rich man sickness, and people doesn't even care about it.
So how many people do you think have actually lined up for the COVID-19 vaccine that they're making available for free?
Few, and mostly they are civil servants and company workers, because some company they give you if you don't take the vaccine, office, and people that are being pressured are scared that the COVID-19 is free.
Company policy.
And two things. One, the beginning of the show, because we asked those questions, and two, turn the damn stuff off in the background because we can't even hear the guests over the answers. You know what I'm saying? So when you're calling, put everything on pause for a sec. And I'm glad we got different answers though, so I'm not on a little bit, but pay attention.
Well, I'm sorry, fellas. I got here late.
I love you. I'm just teasing you. Yeah, I'm teasing you, brother.
All right. Well, let's go there. You guys have a good night.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate you. So, it's something that I want to know, and I'm very concerned with, because there is this New World Order conspiracy planned to move all of the, as many of the Native African Americans either out of the country or into some sort of quote-unquote civilized living style, or driven to death. So one thing that is prevalent in the way that the New World Order likes to treat impoverished nations, for example, is weather warfare. So you're talking about your hurricanes, your tsunamis, your earthquakes, and volcanoes. Okay. Do you actually have any natural catastrophes that happen in Nigeria? And if so, and also, were you affected, or was your country affected by volcano in any way that just recently erupted?
No, naturally, something is very, very uncommon. It rarely happens. The volcano is mostly in a state called Plateau State in Joyce. It happens there once in a while. But aside that, there's no natural disaster here, except rain, which we cause by ourselves, because here we do manipulate rain. Sometimes maybe you're having occasion today, rain wants to fall, you will hold the rain. You will hold it for a very while. If the rain is too stubborn, you can send it to another town or another community to fall. Or people that are in charge of the rain, when they are having occasion, they can draw the rain so that when the rain wants to fall, you call them so that they will still come and be the ones to chase the rain away. But outside that, we don't have natural disaster problem here.
Okay. Yeah, because that's a major concern of mine. And I'm hoping people do not ignore that fact. Sorry, it is a fact. Weather warfare is just something that they're going to be using to clear out the landscapes. I think we just got a little bit of a taste, a little bit of warning with that volcano explosion eruption that happened recently. I think there's going to be a lot more to come. So,
David, do you see chemtrails in the sky at all, or whatever you want to call them? Do you know what those are?
We do see them. Yeah, but people here don't observe such things. Yeah, don't observe it much.
So over there, you get that same junk in your sky. Wow, that's crazy, dude. Mm. Yeah. Oh,
like,
man,
like when I was still growing up, when I was still a little kid, towards evening like this on some days, when you look at the sky, you see different creatures be drawn on the sky. Sometimes we see lion, we see a mother carrying a baby, different creatures. But these days, I've been observing it for the past 10 years. I no longer see them. It's only white sky you see from morning to night to morning, white sky. Those things don't appear any longer.
Yeah, that's how you know the entire world can be affected at any time. David, do you want to plug anything? Do you have any events going on? Anything in the future that you would like to tell us about so that we can get there or get people to we run down to the end of the show here.
For now, nothing really though, but still working on it. I'm looking at very soon get married and go into politics, but I have interest in leadership too. Or maybe still working first, because I want to travel a lot and learn more before adding to it. Like, I want to go to West, maybe US or any European country, see how things are being done there to learn a lot, work a little, then come back home. See what I can contribute before I leave here.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I'd definitely vote for you. If you ran for any office, I would vote for you. That's for sure.
We'll shoot some guns and eat some cheeseburgers.
Yeah, you got to visit the United States, eat some cheeseburgers, and shoot some guns. Yeah.
It would be nice.
Yeah. David, I want to thank you for coming on to the show. We have run out of time. And yes, you're more than welcome to come back on the show anytime you got any updates or any critical issues. We will be glad to hear you as a correspondent from that part of the world. It's always.
Yeah, I know we're in a rush. I just want to say, dude, you're so impressive, man. I had questions on all sorts of topics, pulling them out of anywhere. Then I threw UFO at you, man. And then you're still able to talk about every darn crazy topic. So awesome, man. And I'd like to connect with you, too, on Skype. I'd like to have you on my YouTube channel and chat it up, too, man. Very impressive, very smart dude, man. And you're able to give people context. So, yeah, man, get yourself a website. Get yourself a donation button, man. If you need help, reach out to me. Connect with me on Skype, man. Let's get you to be the new president out there, man, because we need good people in office.
I'm humbled. I'm very grateful.
All right. Well, yeah, once again, thank you. And, yeah, that's Dave, everybody, from Nigeria. And he's going to be on the show here in the future, I'm pretty sure, soon enough. You know, because the world does turn, and there's a lot of us on this thing. So, yeah, look forward to that. I want to remind everybody that July 5th, you want to be tuned in to the show. I don't care what your age range is. I know we have older callers and older listeners with the station, but get your kids, get your grandkids on the station, on the radio, listening in, and be ready to hear this wonderful news that we have for you all. July 5th. It is going down, baby. I just hope we're not flooded too quickly, but you know, we're gonna have something big, something huge, something really, really, really wonderful, and you guys are not gonna regret it. You're gonna be like, wow. We wish V had told us about this a lot sooner. But again, I'm under pain of death with the secret oath. Okay, so the original taskmaster in this endeavor is the only one that can come out in public first. I'll be doing my tours about it as well on other radio shows, of course, and spreading the word because, yes, we've got the NSA mounting up offenses right now, talking about countered cyber terrorism. Oh, man, tons of cyber terrorists out there. Cyber terrorist. No, the only cyber terrorists there are the NSA themselves, and they're going to be doing their best to censor us, censor the news. They're going to censor free speech. They're going to hop on everybody else's computers, emails, social networks, since the central hub of Facebook is breaking down. So, guys, you want to listen in July 5th. All right, guys, it's been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, V, and remember, in the land of surveillance, man, the third eye is king, so please educate yourselves.
All right, welcome back to Introduction to Puppetry. We had a fun morning making our puppets. Now let's see if we can bring them to life, all right? I'm going to call this guy here Gooby. All right, let's try and figure out what Gooby's voice sounds like. Like maybe he's a little dopey.
I'm not dopey, you're dopey.
Hey!
Maybe I am from Quebec, so I sound like Z's, no?
Okay, that's really fun. The point is, try to find a voice that you connect with. All right, so why don't you introduce yourselves again, and let's meet your puppets.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Jeff. And howdy, I'm Ranger Robbie. You know what? Can I change that? I already want to change it.
That's fine. We're just feeling things out. How about you?
Hi, I'm Bonnie. And I'm Nikki. And I'm, like, totally into shopping. Like, shop till you drop. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Charge it.
That's fun, Nikki. And you?
My name is Anthony Peter Coleman. Formerly Private First Class, United States Army, dishonorable discharge, May 19th, 1983.
Okay, and Anthony, what is your puppet's name?
Tony.
And can we hear a little bit about Tony?
Go ahead, tell him what happened. There was a rebel village 5 clicks down the road. Word came down from top brass. Make it disappear. We didn't know any better. We were kids. I watched myself pick up the flamethrower, and I just went off.
Okay, well, let's not get too deep into our... let's not get too deep into our backstories just yet. Like maybe start with some fun, silly facts, you know? Like, I've got a sweet tooth, okay? What about you, Ranger?
My nose is ticklish.
Can I change that? I really want to.
You're fine, absolutely. How about you, Nikki?
I'm, like, so into my phone. I'm always, like, texting, texting, texting. LOL.
Nobody was laughing out loud that day in Grenada. But many people were saying OMG. And me, I was saying TTYL to my innocence.
Yeah, okay. You know, let's just kind of hit the reset button here and give our puppets totally new identities, all right? Like,
maybe I'm a real New Yorker. Pizza, forget about it.
Anthony, do you want to try a completely different character for Tony?
Okay. I like texting. Shop till you drop. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Charge it.
Okay, that's kind of Bonnie's character, though, isn't it? You maybe want to try something else?
All right.
I'm Clark, and I like biscuits and waffles.
That's great. Tell us more about Clark.
He was another grunt in my platoon. Together, we went house to house, spraying liquid death.
Okay, listen, why don't we have these guys act out some scenes, all right? Like, maybe my guy, maybe he's a real nerd, and he could say,
hey, Ranger, can you tell me where in this forest I can plug in my laptop?
Well, right over here.
You guys are friends. That's nice. I had a friend in Grenada. I called him Little Tater. One night, he wouldn't stop screaming. He was gonna give away our position. I covered up his mouth and choked him out.
Okay, guys, let's go ahead and break it up. Let's go ahead and break it up, all right? I'm glad you guys are getting it, okay? But please, do not act out any murder scenarios with each other's puppets. Now, it's been a while since we've heard from Nikki.
Yeah, guys, like, I'm right here. Doesn't anyone see me?
I clocked you the minute I walked in the door. You look like this one hooker in Grenada.
You're, like, intense.
Is that what you like? Daddy's girl.
Okay, see, it looks like they're having sex. Let's take five, everyone. And when we come back, we'll talk about perfecting your puppet's hat.
Tune in next time to Redfield Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.